Chapter 12. The room was long, with windows on the right side and a door at the far end that went into the dressing room. The row of beds that mine was in faced the windows, and another row, under the windows, faced the wall. If you lay on your left side, you could see the dressing room door. There was another door at the far end that people sometimes came in by. If anyone were going to die, they put a screen around the bed so you could not see them die. But only the shoes and putties of doctors and men and nurses showed under the bottom of the screen, and sometimes at the end there would be whispering. Then the priest would come out from behind the screen, and afterward the men nurses would go back behind the screen to come out again, carrying the one who was dead with a blanket over him down the corridor between the beds, and someone folded the screen and took it away. That morning the major in charge of the ward asked me if I felt that I could travel the next day. I said I could. He said they would ship me out early in the morning. He said I would be better off making the trip now before it got too hot. When they lifted you up out of bed to carry you into the dressing room, you could look out of the window and see the new graves in the garden. A soldier sat outside the door that opened onto the garden, making crosses and painting on them the names, rank, and regiment of the men who were buried in the garden. He also ran errands for the ward and in his spare time made me a cigarette lighter out of an empty Austrian rifle cartridge. The doctors were very nice and seemed very capable. They were anxious to ship me to Milan, where there were better X-ray facilities and where, after the operation, I could take mechanotherapy. I wanted to go to Milan, too. They wanted to get us all out and back as far as possible because all the beds were needed for the offensive when it should start.